The Lord be with you.
Amen.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
The Pharisees went off and plotted how they might entrap Jesus in speech. They sent their disciples to him with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man, and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth, and you are not concerned with anyone's opinion, for you do not regard a person's status. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not?" Knowing their malice, Jesus said, "Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin that pays the census tax." Then they handed him the Roman coin. He said to them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" They replied, "Caesar's." At that he said to them, "Then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, good morning. I want to start with this Gospel today. Typical of the Pharisees, they're trying to trip up our Lord. They're trying to trap him. They're trying to get him to say something that they can later on use against him. And so they ask him about this tax. And they knew that whatever he would say, they could use it against him. Because they knew if, for instance, he were to say, "Well, of course, you have to pay the tax," you know, then they could say, "Well, what kind of Jew are you? You know, you want to pay our occupying forces? You want to help these people out who are oppressing us?" And similarly, if he were to have said, "Well, no, you may not pay the tax," you know, well, then they can turn him over to the Romans and say, "Look, here's someone who's not willing to, you know, play by the rules. He's not paying the tax." And so instead of answering, instead of falling into that trap, he says, "Well, whose image, whose name is on this coin?" They say, "Caesar." He says, "Well, pay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but to God what belongs to God." And what our Lord is getting at here is, of course, we have our own civil obligations, taxes, and otherwise. But something that we don't seem to think about often enough are our obligations to God. And to talk about this, I want to bring in St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas was a Dominican friar from Italy in the 13th century. He wrote a huge work called the Summa Theologica, and every priest will have it on his bookshelf. It's in 5 volumes, and it's huge. And it's been studied at seminaries ever since he wrote it. And one of the things he does in that Summa is he talks about God, and he talks about everything coming from God and everything coming back to God, returning to God. And in his Discourse on Man, he talks about all the different virtues. And he talks about the 2 vices that are opposed to each virtue. And he talks about how some virtues kind of fall under other virtues that kind of act as umbrellas. One of those virtues is justice. And we're all familiar with what justice is, plain and simple. He says, of course, justice is giving someone their due. You know, if you owe someone something, in justice, you have to repay it, right? Or think of the example of perhaps a criminal who's convicted of a crime. And we might say, okay, well, justice was had today because he was sentenced to an appropriate penalty. Or similarly, we might say justice did not happen because maybe he got too lenient of a penalty, or maybe he got too harsh of a penalty. But see, that's justice, right? I don't have to explain to you justice. We know what justice is. It's giving others their due. But under this virtue umbrella of justice, St. Thomas Aquinas places all sorts of other virtues, and one of those virtues is the virtue of religion. The virtue of religion, St. Thomas says, is giving God his due. So he puts it in the frame of justice, that to be religious, to worship God, to pray, to go to church, to do all these things, that's justice. It's a part of justice. It's to give God his due. And we see that even this is written in the very soul of man. Even pagan religions, and I use that word in the technical sense, pagan religions that worship, you know, trees and the moon and whatever else, even they have a sense of, I have to worship that which is greater than me. There is something beyond me that deserves my respect and worship. It's written in our very person. So whether or not you happen to be Catholic or even not even Christian, there's something inside of us that recognizes that there's obviously something greater than us that deserves our respect and our worship. And, you know, some people say, well, what about evolution and all these other things? And okay, fine. But what caused that? You know, there's a very easy way to prove the existence of God through logic alone, which is you have to stop somewhere. You know, fine, maybe the Big Bang. Well, what caused that? Well, to add, well, what caused that? You can go all the way back, and I got into an argument with someone a while ago. They said, well, what if we were, like, seeded by aliens? And I said, okay, fine. Who put the aliens there? Well, alien gods. Okay, well, who put the alien gods there? You know, where does this stop? You know, we don't want to fall into the logical fallacy of infinite regress, and, oh, it just goes on forever. Every cause has to be greater than its effect. Not necessarily bigger in size, but greater in power. And so I had to have been made by something bigger than me. The earth had to have been made by something greater than the earth. The universe by something greater than the universe. And where you stop, that's God. That's the God we worship. And that's the God who our innermost self recognizes as greater and tells us that in justice we need to worship that God. Now, Revelation picks up the rest. Revelation says, well, God is three persons in one God, and he had this son, Jesus Christ. And we can get into what's required for us to know through Revelation, but just through reason, just through sheer reason, without ever picking up a Bible or without ever having to make any exercise of faith, just through sheer reason, we can realize that in justice we owe something to God. And that's what our Lord is getting at here in this gospel, to give to God what belongs to God. You know, what I find really interesting is, you look around and one of the only insults that will still get people today is if you call them unjust. You know, that's one of the only insults that's still left that people will say, no, I'm not. And I when people don't come to Mass, for instance, or they don't say their prayers, I like to kind of joke with them, and it's half true, well, it's very true, but I like to say, you know, you're contributing to the injustice in this world by not going to Mass. You know, you are an unjust person. You want to solve all of these different injustices in the world, which is a good thing. We need to fight against all injustices in the world, but the greatest injustice is the injustice done to God on a regular basis by his creatures who don't worship him. Now, I'm kind of preaching to the choir because y'all are here on Sunday, but I like to always point that out, that in justice, we owe God our worship. You know, you probably heard a lot about this new Mass translation that's going to be coming out in Advent. The Mass isn't changing. In fact, the original Latin is not changing. The Latin has been this way forever. We're just finally getting a much, much better, thank God, English translation of the Latin. And a perfect example of this is in the preface dialogue, when the priest says, the Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts, we lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. And what do we say now? It is right to give him thanks and praise. Well, what the Latin actually says is simply, dignum et justum est. It is right and just. And that's what the new response is going to be. You're just going to respond, it is right and just. Because that gets right to the point of this. It is injustice that we come together to worship God. And finally, just wrap up with this, is although we do owe God injustice, our worship, we do owe God daily time in prayer to be in communion with him. It can't simply be out of a sense of obligation. If that's what gets you to do it, at least at first, fine. Better you do it out of justice than not do it at all. But of course, eventually, we should be doing it out of love. We should be doing it not because we have to, but because we want to. Sometimes when I'm hearing confessions, and I'll often ask people, like, well, what's your prayer life like? And they say, well, sometimes I pray, sometimes I don't. And I think, well, did you eat every day? Do you eat every day? Well, of course, Father, I have to eat every day. Well, and do you sleep every day? Well, of course, I have to. Well, so why don't you pray? You have to pray every day. Your body, sure, needs food and sleep and all sorts of other things, but your soul Your soul needs relationship with God. That's what's going to one day get you into heaven. Your body's going to die eventually. You know, what's going to get you into heaven is your relationship with God. And again, if this notion of justice is what gets you to do it at first, fine. Better that than not at all. But let's fulfill our obligations out of love. Let's do what God wants us to do, not because we have to, but because we love Him and we want to be in relationship with Him, not just here on earth now, but for all of eternity in heaven.